Another privilege to be in his presence this evening. On the third day, he will raise us up. Let's thank him for the privilege to see the third day of this week of spiritual emphasis. The last day is everybody's day. Today is our day. Let's appreciate him. Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise for the privilege to see this last day of the week of spiritual emphasis. We appreciate you, O God, and we bless your holy name. Asking for a word this evening. Lord, we are here to hear from you. Speak to us, O God, your engrafted word. Speak to us in a language that we understand. Open our ears to hear, open our eyes to see. And at the end, O God, we have every cause to give you glory and honor. Thank you, faithful God, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Let's put our hands together for the Lord as we take our seats in his presence. Praise the Lord, I'm more than a conqueror. Congratulations. I want to appreciate God this evening and appreciate God's servant, our resident pastor, for the privilege given to me to bring the word of the Lord to God's people this evening. I believe that the same grace upon your life, sir, will have expression in my life this evening, and we shall all be blessed in Jesus' name. Our prophetic focus for the month of November is sanctification secures destiny and eternity. Sanctification secures destiny and eternity. We have been looking at a teaching series since the beginning of our week of spiritual emphasis that is titled Putting Up a Fight Against the Forces of Ungodliness. Putting up a fight against the forces of ungodliness. You can also call that the forces of sin. We must first of all understand that the fight against sin is not just a fight, but a fight of faith. It is a fight of faith. That's why in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, it says, But thou, O man of God, flee these things, that is, flee unrighteousness, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. It then said, Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You fight to follow after righteousness. No one ever emerges a winner without a contest. There is always a fight for you to have a winner. There is always a contest for a winner to emerge. And for you and I, spiritual battles are raging every single time, 24/7. Whether you believe it, you recognize it, or you don't, it's immaterial. The battle is on. And the danger in it is when you don't know that you are in a fight and your opponent knows that there's a fight going on, you open yourself up for a punch. That will not be you in Jesus' name. We must believe that whatever God says for us to do is only possible and deliverable by faith. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, it says, Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. We are in a kingdom that operates by faith. Faith is the only force that gets things done in this kingdom. Nothing works without it. Salvation is impossible without faith. Healing is impossible. In fact, nothing works without faith in this kingdom. So we must have that belief that our fight against sin, our fight against the forces of darkness is only possible and deliverable by faith. For example, we cannot live the overcomer's life without faith. That's why in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, we are told there that the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. The faith of the believer is what overcomes the world and put him ahead of every situation of life. Faith is a principal weapon for our triumphant living. So we cannot win the fiery battle against sin without faith. The battle against sin is a fiery battle. Why is that? Because sin is the only criteria that takes a man away from God. It's the only thing that makes God turn his face from us and turn his back to us. And that is the only ticket required to appear in hell. But none of us will be a candidate of hell in Jesus' name. That's why the devil works so hard to make sure that a man is found in sin in death, because when that happens, there is no going back. The game is over at that point. But none of us will be in that situation, in Jesus' name. So if we do not believe in the practicality of sanctification, we can never experience its manifestation. And that is simple, because every man is only able to live by his faith. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, we are told there that the just shall live by his faith. Because you are only permitted to receive what you have faith for. You are only permitted to become what you have faith for. That is what you believe. If you don't believe that sanctification is possible, if you don't believe that it's possible to live a holy life, you will just become a wishy-washy. The devil will put anything he wants to put in you, because you already believe that sinfulness is okay, because you can't, it's not possible. I'm a man. How can I possibly live a holy life? Praise the name of Jesus. So we must believe that living a holy life and living a sanctified life is possible. Else, all the effort that we make will be in futility, but that will not be you in Jesus' name. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. We know this from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, we cannot please him. And then in Romans chapter 3, verse 27, we are told there that the works of the law will not take us anywhere. But the law of faith is what we need to triumph as believers. If we can believe God to live a sanctified life the same way we believe him for healing, prosperity, maritime business, and career breakthroughs, the power of sin shall be crushed under our feet like a deflated balloon. I see that happening in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. So we must begin to treat sin the same way we treat sicknesses. Go to God and ask him for grace to live above them, to heal us of every infirmity, of every iniquity in our life, so that we can live a holy life. Because without holiness, no man can see the Lord. In Mark chapter 10, verse 27, we are told there that all things are possible with God. So when you go to him for deliverance, when you go to him for sanctification, because all things are possible with him, he will make that possible. So don't say, oh, I'm a man. How can I possibly live a holy life? It is possible to live a holy life with God. Praise the name of Jesus. In Romans 16, 26, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Satan is known as the man of sin. When he's bruised under your feet, guess what? Sin is also going to be under your feet. I see that happening in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. We must recognize that we, for the most part, we have not given sin the required faith attention yet as it is supposed to be. And you know that sin is the greatest barrier to our living and the overcomer's life. Just like I said before, if a man is found in sin or death, that is it. That's why Satan is working so much to make sure that people end up in sin. That will not be you in Jesus' name. In Romans chapter 6, we read from verse 1 to verse 4. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So grace, like most people have perverted that grace. They say, well, because of grace, you can live anyhow you like and still make it to heaven. You hear that on the internet, and a lot of people with itchy ears want to hear good things that will make them feel good. They listen to those messages. That is not true. Grace of God that we are talking about empowers you to live like Jesus. It empowers you to live above sin. It empowers you to see the sin the way it is. If you see the consequences of what you are doing as you are about to do it, you will not do it. The devil will make it look like nothing is going to happen. It's okay. you will not be found out. Nothing will happen. But at the end of the day, you discover that after you have done it, guilt will come in. The devil has gone his way. The Bible says after Satan deceived Eve, he went his way. That's what he always do. Praise the name of Jesus. We need to start applying our faith to the issue of sin the same way we do other things. We must also believe in God's enduring mercy for forgiveness, or we will continue to live under the condemnation of sin. God is merciful. Every time you go to him, he will forgive you. And that is who he is. God is merciful. In Psalm 130, from verse 3 to verse 4, Psalm 130, verse 3 to verse 4, it says, if thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. So God does not mark iniquity. So when you go to him, anytime you commit sin, you go to him, he forgives you. But that is not a license to continue doing the same thing again and again. Many of us, the sin that we confessed 15 years ago, we are still confessing it today because we are just like the dog that returns to his own vomit. None of us will be found there. Because if for any reason, why the person or why you are in the act, something happens there, and you don't make it out there alive, sorry, the person won't make heaven. But none of us will be found there in Jesus' name. And none of us will be like the soul that goes back to the mouth to wallow in Jesus' name. We can only manifest the righteousness of God through faith. Like we said before, Galatians 3:11 tells us that the just shall live by his faith. In the course of the week, we have been looking at identifying the evil spirits behind sin. We have looked at the unclean spirit that makes people do unclean things. We have also looked at the spirit of the world. Today, we will look at two more spirits that are behind sin. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. So the mystery of iniquity needs to be taken out of our lives, needs to be ripped out of the church. Praise the name of Jesus. The spirit we are going to be looking at today, the evil spirit behind sin that we'll be looking at today, is the spirit of whoredom, that is the lust of the flesh. The spirit of whoredom. In Hosea chapter 5 verse 4, Hosea chapter 5 verse 4, it says, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredom is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. 1 John 2:16 calls it the spirit of the lust of the flesh. And 1 Thessalonians 4:3 calls it fornication, the spirit of whoredom. That's one spirit that we need to deal with. If you don't know who your opponent is, you will not be able to map out the strategy to deal with that opponent. That is why we need to identify these evil spirits so that you know exactly what to do and how to deal with them. Praise the name of Jesus. The second spirit is the end-time spirit of derailment. End-time spirit of derailment. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, from verse 1 to verse 2, we are told there, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Lies, hypocrisy, seducing spirits, doctrines that are not correct, doctrines that you don't even know where they came from. People who were once believers now preaching things that are not correct. This is the spirit of the end time spirit of derailment. They have derailed from the faith. None of us will be found there in Jesus' mighty name. Iniquity is being perpetrated everywhere. The society has accepted so many things, and because of that, they are gradually creeping into the church. Same-sex marriage, you can do whatever you want. The kid does not have to listen to their parents. You tell a child, do this, they ask you why. rebellious children. Because the society accepted you can't talk to them, because if you do, you might end up in social services and all of that. The truth is, the fact that it's accepted in society does not make it right. We must pass it through the word of the Lord. Pass it through the word of God to make sure that what they are saying is correct outside. Is it correct with God? Many of us, we don't have, there is no way they can tell that you are a Christian or you are not a Christian. When they celebrate, or anything they celebrate in church, there is pride time or whatever they call it. You support them and you hate them as well. There is Halloween, we go ahead with them. These are all end time spirit of derailment. You are gradually losing your faith without realizing it. No one will be found there in Jesus' mighty name. But we can only conquer these spiritual battles by faith. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil, regardless of what the darts may be, whether it's coming from right, coming from left, you'll be able to quench it by the shield of faith. That is, you believe God and you act according to that belief. I will not do this because God says it is not right. And God is empowering me to say the way I want to say in the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Why iniquity is a mystery. Righteousness is a greater mystery, which delivers by faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, we are told there, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, revealed or received up into glory. So godliness is a greater force than ungodliness. The mystery of godliness is a greater mystery than the mystery of ungodliness. The force of lift overpowers the force of gravity to keep the airplane in the air. The same way the force of godliness will overpower the force of the wicked to keep us righteous in Jesus' mighty name. In Romans chapter 3 from verse 23 to verse 27, we are told there, Romans 3, 23 to 27, very quickly, he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. The law of faith is what we need to engage, to overpower and overcome the mystery of unrighteousness, the mystery of ungodliness. Here are some biblical steps that we can take towards living a sanctified life. Biblical steps that we can take towards living a sanctified life. First, you must come against the deeds of the flesh through the Holy Spirit, who is the refiner's fire, the Holy Ghost. And the energy of the flesh, the Bible says, no man can prevail. By flesh shall no man prevail. So you must prevail in the spirit. Because the spirit is from above, and anything that is from above is above all. In Malachi chapter 3, from verse 1 to verse 3, I will just read verse 2 and verse 3 for the sake of time. It says, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. an offering in righteousness, the Holy Spirit. That's why all you have to do when you start feeling uncomfortable, you feel that you're something that is not right is about to happen, you're about to get into, and you're having that feeling of committing sin or doing anything that is unrighteous, when you burst into the Holy Ghost, either the sin disappear or you stop speaking. As long as you continue to speak in tongues, that desire dies immediately. That's why Jude chapter 1 verse 20 says that we should build up ourselves in the Holy Ghost. As we pray in the Holy Ghost, we are building up our faith. And you know that faith is what you need to overpower every layer of sin. So as you pray in the Holy Ghost, everything that is that evil desire that is not right dies. That is why a believer who is not baptized in the Holy Spirit is running a risk. But that will not be you in Jesus' name. So we starve that desire by praying in the Holy Ghost. Secondly, we must lay aside every weight and sin by faith in the finished work of Christ. So by faith, we lay aside every weight and sin by engaging the finished work of Christ. You lay it aside because you have the capacity to do so. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 to verse 8, he said, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So when a Christian lives perpetually in sin, the Bible is saying here that that person is not of God, is of the devil. None of us will be found there in Jesus' mighty name. So don't create the environment that will encourage sin. You know this is your friend. Every time you go to their house or whatever, every time you call them on the phone, it's gossip, backbiting, envy, all kinds of stuff. And you need to stay away from that person. Because by the time they finish their own, you also talk your own. You also give them a piece of what you know. And sometimes you also lie and backbite and cheat and do all kinds of stuff. So when you avoid those kind of association, you are starving that desire. Praise the name of Jesus. We must take spiritual responsibility in dealing with these forces, these evil forces, by enforcing our redemptive rights to cast them out. In Luke chapter 9 from verse 1 to verse 2, we are told there that Jesus gave the 12 disciples power to cast out devils and heal the sick and deliver everyone that is oppressed of the enemy. The same thing happened in Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to verse 19. And I conclude with Mark chapter 13, verse 37, telling us that what he says to one, he's saying to us. So you and I have the same capacity given to the disciples. So you can also cast out evil spirits. Any spirit that is not of God, that wants to lure you, that wants to take you out of God's way, you can cast them out. You can cast them out with the power given to you, because you and I are also disciples as well. Praise the name of Jesus. So repentance is the covenant pathway to living a sanctified life. Repentance. Why? God's mercy endures forever. This is why any sin that we genuinely repent of, God will forgive us. That was one of the reasons Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, because he knew that if they hear and they repent, God will forgive them. He said, no, those guys, they need to be punished. I want them punished, so I will not preach to them so that they will go to hell. Because of that, he didn't go. But God finally got him to go there. And then when they repented, he said, "Is it not what I said? I said it, that you are going to forgive these people. That's why I didn't want to go." Because God is merciful. It is not sin that takes people to hell, actually. It is lack of repentance. The sin that is not repented of, that's what takes people to hell. God's mercy is always available. Praise the name of Jesus. But that repentance must be timely, lest sin becomes an addiction. It becomes an addiction. It becomes normal. Some sins are normalized. You go to where I'm coming from. People lie like they lie like the devil. Lie is just okay. Everybody just lie. It's just normal. cheating, bribery, corruption. If you don't bribe, you won't go anywhere. It becomes normalized. Once it gets to that point in your life, you are past the stage of repentance. And that will not be you in Jesus' name. No sin shall be normalized in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. We must be able to frown at it at every time. Go back to God immediately. Just like Peter, when he realized that he has betrayed Jesus, he repented immediately and he was restored. But when Judas delayed, he waited. After they have condemned him, he now went and said, this is 30 pieces of silver. It was too late for him. He ended up hanging himself. So we must do it promptly and quickly. Samson as well, it was too late. He played with sin to the point that sin finally sank the guy. He played with sin. The parents warned him several times, don't go to the heathen to go and get married. He refused. Went into prostitutes. At the end of the day, he lost his life. No one here will be found there in Jesus' mighty name. Let's rise up this evening. Appreciate God. If you've heard anything, just appreciate him. Give him the glory. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. We give you all glory. Blessed be your name forever. In Jesus' name. All heads bow, all eyes closed. You are here this evening. You don't know the Lord is an opportunity for you. All I've been saying since only applies to believers. You want to give your life to Christ? You can just indicate by raising up your hand. If you are online, you can stand up right now. Paraventure, you gave your life to Christ before and you derailed somehow, you can reconnect right now. Just say this simple prayer after me and you are back on your feet. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I come before you today recognizing my state as a sinner. I ask that you forgive me my sin. I know you died for me on the cross of Calvary, raised up the third day for my justification. Wash me with your blood. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You said that prayer. You have just been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Send us a text. Send us an email if you are online. And if you are on ground, raise up your hands. And the ministers, we attend to you. Let's put our hands together for the Lord this evening as we receive God's servant for blessing.